Father, I thank you for those who came out tonight to sit in your presence to hear your word. The anointing is already on the word, Father God, and I bind every spirit of hell, darkness, and the grave that would like to come in here and tend to destroy the word and the anointing. Satan, we didn't invite you in, and you aren't allowed in. And Father God, I thank you that your angelic hosts are walking to and fro throughout these seats tonight, keeping your people safe from any foul force of darkness that's trying to invade. And Father, I thank you for the hungry hearts. I thank you for the spiritual ears that are open, wide open right now to receive your word. And the heart, Father God, that's been already cultivated to receive this seed. And Father God, I plead the blood of Jesus over the seed that the enemy cannot take it, and it will go deep, and it will bear much fruit. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was praying, that what I really saw was a plowed up field. I saw the seed go into the field. Then the rain came, and the little sprouts started coming up. That's really what I was seeing as I was saying that. God is good. Amen. So that's telling me that there's fertile ground here tonight. And the seed's going to fall in that fertile ground, and it's going to take root, and it's going to produce much fruit. That's exciting to me. I don't know about you, but it's exciting to me. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to talk on walking in the Spirit, because I was talking to somebody last week, and I said, we don't even clap in the Spirit in the church. You know, this one bunch is clapping one way, another bunch is clapping another way, another bunch is clapping another way, and you're stomping your feet out. You're not in the Spirit, you're stomping your feet, you know. You pick up the tambourine and bump it real good, and that's not in the Spirit, so that really breaks the Spirit. Amen? So we all need to start being in one mind and one accord and being in total unity. I said we're going to give hand clapping lessons. I don't clap my hands because my kids used to tell me I clapped out of sync. So they told me, please don't clap because you mess us up. So I'm saying to some of you, please don't clap till you learn how to clap, right? In the Spirit. Y'all can laugh about that. That's okay. And anyhow, the person I was talking to, I said, just listen sometimes to praise and worship and just listen to what goes on. Did you listen? No, I bet you didn't, did you? Did you hear it? You see? See, we had to listen for it with spiritual ears. You know, even though you can still praise the Lord and still hear. It does, when you're praising God, doesn't put plugs in your ears. Amen. So yeah, I want us to walk in the Spirit. Totally and completely in the Spirit. God's purpose for every one of his children is that we surrender to the reign and rulership of the Holy Spirit. God's purpose for every one of his children is that we surrender to the reign and rulership of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, if he lives in you, let him direct you. Somebody asked me to do something today, and I said, well, I'm going to teach him we have to ask God before we do anything, so I have to pray about this. I think. Some people say, well, I have to pray about this, and that means I don't want any part of it. But that's not the way we want to be. Amen. When we say I need to pray about this, because you need to take it to the Father and say, do you really want me to get involved in this? Amen. And tonight we want to learn two things. What it means to walk in the Spirit and how you can obtain such a walk. I believe Acts 16 is one of the best examples of what it means to walk in the Holy Spirit. We've heard this expression all our lives, to walk in the Spirit. But what does it mean? And I'm always telling you, you need to walk in the Spirit, all right? Walking in the Spirit means incredible, detailed direction and unclouded decisions. In other words, God is going to make everything really plain to you. You will know without a shadow of a doubt that you're hearing from the Father. The Holy Spirit provides absolute, clearly detailed instructions to those who walk in Him. You hear this? The Holy Spirit provides absolute, clearly detailed instructions to those who walk in Him. In other words, if you're really walking deep in the Spirit the way you should be, you won't have to ask me or anybody else what you're supposed to do. Because God's going to be speaking to you now. You could say, God, use somebody to confirm this, and He will do that for you. And there's nothing wrong in that. I've done that in the past myself. God, this is so extraordinary. I really need this confirmed to me because it seemed, you know, blew my mind what He was asking me to do. So it's okay to ask somebody you know who walks, somebody else who walks in the Spirit, to pray about it and to get a confirmation on it. So I said, the Holy Spirit provides absolute, clearly detailed instructions to those who walk in Him. If you walk in the Spirit, then you don't walk in confusion. And God said confusion has entered into the church, so you're not walking in the Spirit if you're walking in confusion. Your decisions aren't ours. Let's start that again. If you walk in the Spirit, then you don't walk in confusion, and your decisions aren't clouded ones. The early Christians did not walk in confusion. They were led by the Spirit in every decision, every move, and every action. The Spirit talked to them and directed them in their every waking hour. No decision was made without consulting God. The church's motto throughout the New Testament was, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say." God's been dealing with us about that. Jesus said, "Go, so go. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples." We are to go into all the world with the gospel, and the call is to the entire church, just not one or two individuals. But we are to go only when and where the Spirit leads. And I'm going to give you scriptures about that. But we are to go only when and where the Spirit leads. The idea that we're simply to pack our bags and go has nothing at all to do with walking in the Spirit. I am ministering in Delaware today because the Holy Spirit told me very clearly to stay in Delaware and win Delaware and the Lower Delmarva Peninsula to Christ. That's why I'm here. No devil or demon can move me from this because the Spirit gave detailed instructions. I want to stop there. I've had two big ministries from out of state tell me if I would move to their state, they would set me up in a church and it would grow. I can't do that. They would foot all the bill. I can't do that. Because I said, I can't do that because God's called me to Delaware. And they said, but Delaware's dead. They don't want to hear the gospel. I said, somebody has to stay and bring the gospel to Delaware, right? Aren't you glad we're in Delaware and we can bring the gospel to Delaware? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:1 and Matthew 18:16, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I want to give you three witnesses for my message. There's Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Each of them was full of the Holy Spirit and walked daily in the Spirit, just not every now and then, but daily. And in chapter 16 of Acts, these men show us what we can expect in such a walk. Paul had chosen Silas and Timothy to go with him throughout the churches to establish them. You know, Jesus picked his 12. Paul had his too. Everybody that goes somewhere should have somebody to go with them, all right? Acts 16:5, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily as Paul and Silas and Timothy went forth. The churches were established, all right? In Paul's day, there was no continent more needy than Asia. That land was in total darkness. And like many zealous ministers today, Paul wanted to go where the need was. But the Spirit forbid him to preach in Asia on this occasion. Acts 16:6, they had gone throughout Perga and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. They started to go, but the Lord said, "No, you can't go right now." Years ago, somebody invited me to go to California, and I didn't want to go, but they bought the plane tickets and everything else. I went out of obligation. It was the worst thing I could ever have done. So I don't go anywhere. You can buy me 10 plane tickets, and I'm not going anywhere unless the Holy Spirit directs me to go. Are you understanding this? Paul said, "Well, let's go to Bethania. The people are in darkness there, and we have been commanded to go, so let's go." But again, the Spirit didn't permit them. Acts 16:7. After they had come to Messiah, they tried to go into Bethany, but the Spirit did not permit them. See, you have to go where God tells you to go, or nothing is going to happen. No wonder so many missionaries come home from the field after a short time. Many come back disillusioned and despairing because they haven't been led by the Spirit. They went with zeal, but without seeking the counsel of the Holy Spirit. They were not sent out by the Holy Spirit. See that? Paul and his men ended up in Troas, undecided and wondering where to go next. That's when Paul received a vision in Acts 16:8-9. So passing by Messiah, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." He stood there, a man was pleading with him. All right? Please note, it's a good thing the Spirit didn't tell Paul the whole story in this vision. And one time, you know, God asked me to do something, so I did it, and then It was a mess. And I said, God, why did you tell me what was going to happen? He said, because if I would have told you what was going to happen, you wouldn't have done it. So see, God didn't tell Paul what was going to happen either. He just told him to go. All right, because the man calling him, okay, let's start that again. Please note, it's a good thing the Spirit didn't tell Paul the whole story in this vision, because the man calling him was a jailkeeper, beckoning him to come spend a night locked in a stockade within the walls of his prison. You need to understand, you will also be tested when you begin to walk in the Spirit. I remember one time that my minister I was sitting under, she said, God, she got awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, and she heard God tell her to go stand down in a certain corner here in Delaware. And she went, got dressed and went, stood in that corner. Nothing happened, so she went back home. And she said it really wasn't God telling her that, but because she was so zealous for the things of God, she thought God told her to do that. All right, but still she was obedient and did what she thought God wanted her to do. All right, we all know that Paul, along with his two young servants, were severely tested as you read the word. When they arrived at Philippi, a city in Macedonia, they didn't encounter any such man that we talked about over here. All they encountered was women. Acts 16:13 says, on the Sabbath, we left the city and went down along the river where we had heard there was to be a prayer meeting. We took our place with the women who had gathered there and talked with them. One woman, Lydia, was from Thyatira and a dealer in expensive textiles, known to be a God-fearing woman. As she listened with intensity to what was being said, the master gave her a trusting heart, and she believed. After she was baptized, along with everyone in her household, she said in a surge of hospitality, "If you're confident that I'm in this with you and believe in the master truly, come home with me and be my guest." We hesitated, but she wouldn't take no for an answer. So here he's supposed to see a man that all he saw was women, and the women got saved. Can you imagine what Paul must have said to his two young associates on the way to Lydia's house? "I thought I saw a man calling for help, yet there's nobody around here but women, not a man in sight. I trust I heard the Lord correctly." Now, we get upset when God tells us something and it doesn't unfold exactly as we heard it, right? You can say amen to that. We want every detail to fall into place, and if we don't see the man right away, we are ready to discount everything. In the meantime, God had opened Lydia's heart. A number of women were getting saved. God was moving, but there wasn't a man in sight. Indeed, God will perform all kinds of wonderful, unexpected miracles on the way to the vision and on the way of obedience. See this? Philip and Peter also walked in the Spirit, and they got very detailed, incredible directions. God was using Philip powerfully to lead a revival in Samaria. People were being saved, healed, delivered from demons. But the Spirit directed Philip to leave Samaria and to go instead to the desert of Gaza. So in obedience, Philip packed it in and said goodbye and started walking to his destination. See, he was in a wonderful revival, but God says, time to pack up and leave. And Acts 26:31 says, later God's angel spoke to Philip, "At noon today, I want you to..." What time? There was a time at noon today, "I want you to walk over to that desolate road that goes from Jerusalem down to Gaza." He got up and went. He met an Ethiopian eunuch coming down the road. The eunuch had been on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and was returning to Ethiopia, where he was minister in charge of all the finances of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. But somebody, has this been opened? No. Give this water to that lady. Oh, somebody already did. Okay. All right, so he got up and went. Philip got up and went. He met an Ethiopian eunuch coming down the road. The eunuch had been on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and was returning to Ethiopia, where he was minister in charge of all the finances of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. He was riding in a chariot and reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit told Philip, "Climb into the chariot." See who's talking to him? The Spirit of God. Running up alongside, Philip heard the eunuch reading Isaiah and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He answered, "How can I without some help?" and invited Philip into the chariot with him. And the Spirit already told him to get into the chariot, right? Suddenly, Philip was opening the message of Isaiah 53 to this man, revealing Jesus. And the next thing Philip knew, the man received Christ and was baptized. Acts 8:36, as they continued down the road, they came to a stream of water. The eunuch said, "Here is water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the chariot to stop. They both went down to the water, and Philip baptized him on the spot. And Acts 8:39 says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of God suddenly took Philip off. See that? And that was the last eunuch saw of him. But he didn't mind. He had what he had what he'd come for and went on down the road as happy as he could be. See, the Spirit talked to Philip, told him exactly where to go, exactly what to do. Philip did it, then the Spirit come and whoop, you know, took him away. Many people have a problem with this last verse, the Spirit caught away Philip, but I don't. The Spirit had been present when the heavens and earth were created. He was co-creator with their Father, so he certainly could carry a man to his next preaching assignment. I remember reading a couple years ago where these men were, you know, they were evangelists and they were traveling around. Well, they were kept longer than they should have been at this one church, and they were going to be late at the next meeting, and they were saying, how are we ever going to get there in time? The next thing they knew, they were at the place where they should have been. And it should have taken them hours, but they were right smack dab in front of that building. And they knew the Spirit of God had picked them up and carried them and taken them to where they should have been on time. It's happening today. It's just not happening in the Bible. It's happening today to those who truly believe. You know, Kat Kerr, you know, she come on the scene with pink hair. She travels up to heaven every day. And look where she's at today. She's in the White House prophesying. Come on. And I know people laughed at her and her pink hair. She said the Spirit told her to dye her hair pink. And in the way she acted and everything, she looked like she was a little bit flaky. But she was God's, you know, she wasn't flaky, but people were making fun of her. But look where she's at today. She was obedient to everything. I don't want to see pink hair, green hair, no other kind of hair in this church. Say, well, the Spirit told me, get out of here. If he would have told you, he told you before I preached a sermon, all right? But we have to do what God's telling us to do if we're going to see the supernatural. Peter was on the rooftop praying when God showed him a vision in Acts 10:9-17. The next day as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they were made ready, you know, the meal, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Peter for Simon's house and stood before the gate. As this took place, three men stood at Peter's gate calling, "Is Simon Peter in the house?" And the Spirit said to Peter in Acts 10:19. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you." You see how the Spirit will talk to you? "Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." God gave him instruction. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." See that? An angel went to this man, talked to him. And then God went to Peter and talked, the Spirit went to Peter and talked to him so the two could come together so this man could learn about Jesus. These were absolutely clear, detailed instructions. Later in Jerusalem, Peter told the brethren why he ate with uncircumcised Gentiles. Acts 11:12. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Peter said, "The Spirit told me to do it. I ate with them because the Holy Spirit spoke clearly to me." The early church never sent out workers or missionaries unless the Holy Spirit chose and ordained them. The early church never sent out workers or missionaries unless the Holy Spirit chose and ordained them. Well, let's go back to this eating thing. Remember, God showed him the sheet. Don't call anything unclean or common. And then this man summoned him to come to his house. And so he was eating with somebody he wasn't supposed to be eating with. But he said, I did it because God told me to do it. All right. Now, we're talking about the early church not sending out workers. A person didn't just walk up to the apostle and say, look, I've got a call to Cyprus, to Pathias, to Perga, to Pergamos. Please anoint me and ordain me. Send me forth with your blessing. That happens a lot in churches today. No, the Holy Spirit spoke clearly in prayer meetings, appointing those who were truly anointed of God. See what's so important about prayer meetings? Acts 13:2. One day as they were worshiping God, they were also fasting as they waited for guidance. The Holy Spirit spoke, take Barnabas and Saul and commission them for the work I have called them to do. So they commissioned them in that circle of intensity and obedience of fasting and praying. They laid hands on their heads and sent them off. In a prayer meeting, as they were waiting for guidance, people think you have to be in a prayer meeting here, but somebody should be up going, unless say the Lord, up, let's say the Lord, up, you know. No, sometimes you just need to sit in a prayer meeting and be quiet. You need to be listening for the voice of God to tell you what to do. He needs to lead, guide, and direct you. Wow, we didn't do anything but just sit. Did you really just sit? Well, you should have been just sitting. You should have been speaking quietly to the Father, to yourself, and you should have been listening for how God was going to lead, guide, and direct you. If you go into a prayer meeting and you go in there in your flesh, nothing is going to be accomplished. Are you listening here? I say that because I've had some complaints about prayer meeting. So I wouldn't say that prayer meeting, you know, you don't need to complain. What you need to do is take it to the Father and see what's going on. All right, now, if you ask the Holy Spirit, He will tell you everything you need to know. Come on. If you ask the Holy Spirit, He will tell you everything you need to know, including where and when to go. Included in these incredible directions are precise warnings about what is coming. The Holy Spirit will warn you in order to prepare you. And John 16:13 says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. I'm telling you, saints of God, these scriptures that we are reading are truth. And it can happen in your life. It happens in my life every day. God's telling me what's going to go on, exactly how it's going to happen, and what the end result is going to be. You need to be walking in the Spirit constantly. And maybe the reason why you don't walk in the Spirit constantly is because you're not holy. You haven't consecrated yourself totally and completely to the Father. There's still things in the world you're holding on to. And the Holy Spirit won't lead, guide, and direct you constantly because you are not following Him with all of your heart. You can't walk with the world and expect the Holy Spirit to guide you all the time. Because what you're doing when you're walking one foot in the world, one foot in the church, is you still want to go the way of the world, and the Holy Spirit won't do that. He's a gentleman. He'll let you go your way. They say, well, God didn't tell me. No, the reason why God didn't tell you is because you weren't in the right position you should be in. All right, Jesus isn't talking merely about prophecy and future events. He's talking about your life, you know, whatever He said here. But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. So Jesus isn't talking merely about prophecy and future events. He's talking about your life. Walking in the Holy Spirit is about being led by Him in very practical daily living. For example, He showed the early church a famine was coming. Acts 11:28. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. The Holy Spirit warned them a famine was coming, so they began to take offerings to share with other believers. Now, we know that there's going to be something coming in America. And, you know, people have been stocking up food forever. Now, you need to be seeking God's face. What am I supposed to be doing right now? Do you want me to stock up food? Or do you want me to trust and believe you what you told me, that whenever this famine comes that you would feed me? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, look at all these flooding that's been going on. Look at all these people that had all this food stored up. Where's this food? Sailing down the river with water. Now, I'm not saying don't store up food. I didn't say that. I said, you have to ask God, what do you want me to do personally, Father? Because I also know a lot of these people are selling this food and stuff on TV are doing it for their own financial gain. So we have to ask God, what do you want me to do? And then do it. Don't just follow the crowd. Be led by the Holy Spirit. And he'll tell you exactly what he wants you to do. He might want you to not stock up any food so he can send a raven to bring you some meat in his little beak. Amen. I've thought about that. You know, birds regurgitate, you know, they feed their animals. I hope they didn't regurgitate what they fed the prophet. Amen. Okay, the Spirit also warned Paul that his trip to Jerusalem would result in his being taken prisoner. Acts 21:10. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Paul was being warned. He was being told to prepare. The Holy Spirit always warns us. The Holy Spirit will always warn you of what's coming upon your life. He will. Number two, walking in the Spirit means never being intimidated by demonic harassment. If you walk in the Spirit, you will constantly be harassed by demonic powers. Let's get this through our little thick heads. If you walk in the Spirit, you will constantly be harassed by demonic powers. But you do not have to be intimidated by any demon power anywhere at any time. I'm not intimidated, but I can sure get mad at that devil when he keeps on his little junk. Can't you? Say, who do you think you are, you dummy? You're fooling with one of God's children. Okay, Paul was continually harassed by demonic powers. He was preaching to Sergius Paulus, deputy of the Isle of Patmos, when demons attempted to interfere. So let's read Acts 13, verse 5. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now when they had gone through the island to Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Alimaeus, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. See, this Bar-Jesus, he wanted to know about the faith, but then here we had this little sorcerer in there who was trying to stop it. There's always going to be a sorcerer in your midst to try to stop you from hearing the truth of God's word. So get that in your hat right now, and then let it go down into your heart. Then any time God is trying to do something great with you, a sorcerer is going to come, you know, some demonic force is going to come and try to block that so you don't receive or understand what God is trying to do with you. Acts 13, verse 8. But Alimaeus the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O full of deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" He didn't speak nice words, did he? "And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind." This is Paul, full of the Holy Spirit, speaking to this man who had the devil in him. "And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. This was Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, calling blindness upon this devil. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, brought down all the powers of darkness right then and there. Why can't you? Because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not the way you should be. You're not walking in the Spirit the way you should be. Therefore, you don't use the power and authority that's given to you through the Holy Spirit. In Acts 16, the devil came again against the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and again Paul responded in Acts 16:16. "Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. All right, she was a fortune teller, so we shouldn't be going to fortune tellers. Right? Verse 18, and this she did for many days. You followed him around saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. See, this girl, this devil in this girl knew who they were. And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. See, Paul let it go on for a little bit, but then he said, now I'm done with this mess. I want to stop here and challenge every Christian who claims to walk in the Spirit. It is not enough to be grieved by the attempts of Satan to harass you. Paul was grieved, meaning disturbed, troubled, and he allowed it for many days. But how long should you put up with Satan's troubling you, putting unnecessary grief on you, hindering you in your work? This could have gone on with Paul for a long time. It might have affected his physical body. But the Spirit of God welled up in Paul. What did the Spirit of God welled up in Paul? And he said, that's it. That's enough. In the name of Jesus, be gone. See, when you're really, I've been telling you this for years, when you're really sick and tired of something, you will make it leave. And it has to leave in the power. It knows when you really want it to go. It knows when you really want it to go. You might think that you're sounding like you really mean business, but the devil knows, just like Jesus knows, that you really don't mean business all the time when you say, I'm tired of this, now get out. No, that's just something you're doing. There's no power, no authority in your words. We take too much from the devil. There comes a time when we've got to stand up in the power of the Holy Spirit and say, enough, that's it. I command you in Jesus' name to go. All right? Even in my own house, you know, God told me 4 days ago that one of my family members was going to, God had promised me he was going to throw them on a sick bed. And he's going to keep them on that sick bed until they're so sick and tired of what they're doing that they'll never want to do it ever again. And so it started the other day. And so the day when I went home, something had gone on while I was here, and I went in there and I talked very sternly, and I said, this is enough is enough. And we're not doing it no more. Enough is enough. I'm sick and tired. And I was talking to the devil, not to the person, to the devil. And I said, you're not going to do it again. Now, see, the Spirit of God, I've never done that before. The Spirit of God rose up inside of me and said, now enough is enough. This is a time it has to stop. You know, God made me put up with it for a year. But now God said, now is a time it has to stop. All right? And why did he have me put up with it for a year? Because he was trying to get this person to turn around, and the person wouldn't turn around. So now God said it's sick bedtime. So I knew this day was coming, and he told me 4 days ago, now is the time when it's going to start. And it started. I'm telling you, God, the Holy Spirit will tell you what is going on in your life. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to be caught unawares. He will tell you what's going on. If you walk in the Spirit, fully, totally, and completely. All right, number three, walking in the Spirit means being worry-free no matter what happens to you. It means worry-free no matter what happens to you. When you take authority and command devils to flee, Satan will come at you with everything in his arsenal. He'll bring down all kinds of trouble and curses curses on you. It should be curses on you. Just after Paul had cast the demons out of the possessed girl, Satan started stirring things up. Now listen to this. He inflamed the crowd against Paul and Silas, and suddenly they were in a terrible crisis. The city magistrates had them whipped and cast into prison. And with every stripe on their backs, I can hear the devil saying, so you think you've won the victory? You think you're going to cast out my demons and take authority over me? Take that. I'm going to beat you, cast you into prison, lock you up hands and feet. Then let me see how much you praise the Lord. Now just stop and think, isn't that what the devil does to you? You know, like you deliverance team, you're always being attacked. Why are you being attacked? Because the devil said, oh, you think you're so smart? The devil said that to me one day, and I said, no, I'm not so smart. I have Jesus inside of me. Well, he told me he was going to do things to me, and I laughed in his face. You know what? He did everything he said he was going to do. But God had already forewarned me that it was going to happen. But I just sort of, in my little, I don't know, ignorance, whatever, I just thought it wasn't going to happen, even though God spoke it. But it happened exactly the way he said. But there did come a day when the devil has to stop. So if you're doing God's work and the devil's doing what I just said here, what he said to Peter, then it has to stop. The devil didn't seem to know the more you whip a servant of God who walks in the Spirit, the more praises you whip up from him. If you throw him in a crisis that tie him up with problems and troubles, he will sing, shout, and worship. In Acts 16:25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, see, this is where your breakthrough comes. You have to learn to praise God in the midst of your crisis. Now, one of the reasons why I've changed and we sang in the eye of the storm is because I heard it coming down there, but I was sitting there hearing it and listening to it, and I remember one time when I was going through a terrible, terrible crisis, and God said, daughter, run to the eye of the storm. And I asked my husband, what happens in the eye of the storm? He said, there's perfect calm and peace in the eye of the storm. And I was so excited about that because God was saying to run to him, the eye of the storm. And the crisis I was going through wouldn't affect me. And it didn't affect me because I ran into Jesus. Are you listening here? That song, if you really listen to it, it really has a lot in it. If we are to walk in the Spirit, then we must believe God for supernatural deliverance from every bondage of Satan. Are you listening? If we are to walk in the Spirit, then we must believe God for supernatural deliverance from every bondage of Satan. Just not one or two, but every bondage of Satan. Now, you know, with this person I was talking about this morning, they kept calling me. And I went, I said, what do you want? And they said, I just need you. I need you. Not anybody else. I need you. And I need you because I'm going to pray. And I need you to help me pray. And because I need deliver from this mess that I'm in. Everybody else in the house was in there with him. But he kept calling me, I need you. He knows the Spirit of God is in me, and he knows when I come into the room, he gets some peace. This is what you need to do, saints of God, because when people are in a crisis, they're going to need you. They need the Spirit of God that's in you. And you know, and I didn't pray with him. Well, I mean, I didn't direct his prayers. He prayed, and I prayed my own prayers, but he really cried out to God. And I know God heard that. You need to walk in the Spirit, not for your own self, but you need to walk in your Spirit for the people around about you that the devil has in bondage, and they can't get out of their bondage. How selfish is the body of Christ? You want everything because of you. When really all you are is a servant, well, not all you are, but you are a servant of the Most High God. Sent down here not for your own pleasure, but to be used by God to deliver the captives out of their prisons. And we don't want to do that because that's a lot of work. You have to spend a lot of hours with your minds constantly stayed upon Jesus. You have to be praying. You have to be fasting. You have to be listening intently to the voice of God. Sometimes you don't get much sleep because you're laying there in your bed praying at night, trying to hear God's voice so that you can lead, guide, and direct the people around about you who don't know God. Now, you don't control people. I don't control anybody. But if God's telling me something about him, I will go to him and say, I write it down and say, here's what God has told me about you. And this is what's going to happen. Now you're going to have to heed what God has to say. And then I let it go at that. But then I keep praying, too, that they will be able to receive the truth and not have the devil come in there and twist it around. So walking in the Spirit is for you, but it's more for the people around about you who are in bondage and don't know Christ. If we are to walk in the Spirit, then we must believe God for supernatural deliverance from every bondage of Satan. It doesn't matter if God has to create an earthquake to do it. You're like he did in the prison. In fact, that is exactly what he did for Paul in Acts 16:26. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Just because Paul and Silas were walking in the Spirit and were praising God in their chains and bonds, everybody was freed. Do you understand this? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you sat in the house of God and really worshiped him, doing praise and worship, and the Spirit of God came in, and everybody was freed from their bondages that they came in, brought in here with them? Do you know what that would do to the body of Christ? Do you know what that would do to the worldly people that come through the doors? It would make believers out of them. because they would know that they came in bound but left free. And nobody went to him and touched him because Spirit was there and God's Spirit moved mightily. Satan will try to bring upon you the most dreadful temptation or trial you have ever faced. He wants you to get bogged down in guilt, condemnation, and self-examination. At this point, you have to arise in the Spirit and get your eyes off your circumstances and bondage. Don't try to figure it all out. Start praising, singing, trusting God, and He will take care of your deliverance. Let's read that again. Satan will try to bring upon you the most dreadful temptations or trial you have ever faced. He wants you to get bogged down in guilt, condemnation, and self-examination. At this point, you have to arise in the Spirit and get your eyes off your circumstances and bondage. Don't try to figure it all out. Start praising, singing, trusting God, and He will take care of your deliverance. Now, I'm going to share something here with you. You know, I fight a disease in my body constantly. Every time, you know, I do set somebody free, then the devil comes and brings a sickness back in my body. And 4 days ago when God told me, He said, the sick bed's coming now, you know, for the person. And I started praying very fervently for this person. My sickness came back in my, the sickness came back in my body. So I'm not only fighting for this person, now I'm fighting for my own health. You see, that's why I wrote on there that he'll come at you with everything he has. Well, when you take authority and command devils to flee, Satan will come at you with everything in his arsenal. So, you know, I'm not giving in to what my body's saying. I just know that the enemy's now attacking me because now I'm covering this other person. And so the enemy's trying to take me out of the picture so he can have the other person. Are you understanding this? And he doesn't only get one person, he gets about five if he can take me out. I'm not going anywhere. Sometimes, just like this morning when I stood up here, I could hardly stand. But I'm going to stand and I'm going to do God's work. I don't care what the enemy's throwing at me. Come on. Because if you're really walking in the Spirit, if you're really, really tearing down the enemy's kingdom, then he's going to attack you. He can't allow you to do that. He has to attack you with everything he has. And you have to understand that you have power and authority over your own body. After all, it's your body. And you know, he can't come in there and violate your body like that. And you have to make him leave. He might not even be in there. He just might be walking around me, you know, just bringing the symptoms back, hoping that I'll give in to them. Then he can come in because the door will be open. But he's not coming in. Are you understand what I'm saying here? You need to be walking in the Spirit. And God told me, witchcraft is hard at work with you. It's trying to kill you. He already warned me. He said, you're going to have to stand in faith. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight. You know, you are going to have to fight for your own vessel. After all, that devil's around you. It's not around everybody else. And you're going to have to take authority because that's your vessel. He has no right to your vessel. None. And I'm not inside of your vessel. I'm not standing around you 24/7. So you're going to have to learn to take authority yourself over your body and command him to leave you in Jesus' name. All right, I've lost my place. Satan will try to bring... we want number four. Four, walking in the Spirit means never again fearing man. When the magistrates ordered Paul and Silas out of jail, Paul refused to leave. And he said in Acts 16:37, Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now do they put us out secretly? Nope. No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out. You know, as I'm typing that up, I'm thinking if I was with Paul, I'd have said, Paul, let's just go. You know, don't care how I get out or let's just go. Right? But Paul said, nope, they're going to come here. Amen. And see, this is what we do. We just want to get out of the situation. We just want to get out. No, devil, you did this wrong. So you know what? You're going to come here and you're going to get your goings for what you did. Right? God does not want you to sneak away from men who have been the devil's tool to harass you. You hear this? God does not want you to sneak away from men who have been the devil's tool to harass you. He wants you to experience deliverance with your head held high. He wants to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. He's been giving us that scripture over and over and over again. Let's get this in our spirit tonight. He wants to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Let them come themselves and fetch us out, Paul said. This was not Paul's pride speaking. It was the Holy Spirit in him saying, those who walk in the Spirit don't fear men. But poor old, the guy with him, he was just wanting to get out of there, right? But Paul said, nope. He walked in the Spirit. He wasn't going to fear no man. All right, it was the Holy Spirit in him saying, those who walk in the Spirit don't fear men. And the shame they try to put on you is going to come down on their head. Come on. God gives us Paul's holy boldness. Well, we're saying God give us Paul's holy boldness. We know we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Let the devil and his people be put to shame, but those who walk with God will never be put to shame. And I stop there because there's still more to this. It's telling you how to really walk in the Spirit, but that's going to be because I didn't want to take away from anything, and I want us to get the whole truth of what it is. But tonight, I want you to start walking in the Spirit. And next Wednesday, I won't be able to tell you, but next Sunday morning, I'll tell you how to do that. There's too many people in the body of Christ thinking they're walking in the Spirit, and they're not. There's a religious spirit there that's controlling them, trying to make them believe they're walking in the Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that you're not walking in the Spirit, but in the body of Christ, there's a lot of people who think they are, and they are not. And when I'm teaching this, I want you to judge yourself. You can judge yourself, right? And be honest with yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Judge yourself. Be honest with yourself. And if you're really not walking in the Spirit, then get it right. You know, let God set you right. Because don't you want God to tell you every second of every day what's going to go on in your life for that day? Instead of you guessing what's going to happen to me today, God's going to tell you what's going to happen to you. God's given me a dream now, the same dream three times. This time it's a little bit different, but it's the same people in this dream. And they're doing something to me, or I'm going to be getting this dream. And now, I'm sorry, God, I need the full revelation of what this dream, because you've given this thing to me three times, and last night it was two times in a row. So when he gave it to me three times, but so two times before, right? So now God has revealed to me what this dream, because I haven't really asked him before. I think I know what it is, but I haven't really asked him. So it's not what you think that counts. It's what the Holy Spirit tells you the dream is all about. All right? So if you will seek God's face, I guarantee you, he will tell you all things. You know, a ring of mine was come up missing about 4 years ago, and somebody told me that somebody stole it, so I started looking for it, and the Holy Spirit said, don't bother looking, because they didn't steal it. Somebody else took it, and they put it up. So they didn't want me to have the ring, so they just took it. So I just quit looking right then and there, even though it's a ring I really loved. You know, God will return it. The Holy Spirit will return it. So this is what I'm telling you. I could have looked all day for that ring. It was my wedding ring. I could have looked all day for that ring and wasted a whole day. And the Holy Spirit said, don't look another second. Nobody stole it. It was just taken from you. And it's put up. So that's that. God always, always, always tells me what's going on. Always. And I'm serious. Always. I've been walking in the Spirit now ever since 1977, and God's always told me what's going to happen in my life. My first husband, one time, he said, come to me, and he said, you know, honey, you know, you're really, really busy with the church and working and everything, going to college and everything. He said, why don't you give me the checkbook so I can take care of the household expenses? And so the Holy Spirit immediately said to me, that isn't why he wants the checkbook, but give it to him anyhow, because what he's going to do, he's going to take every bit of money you have. And he's going to leave you. So I said, sure. And I went, because the Holy Spirit immediately told me that. He didn't wait 2 days. Immediately. So I went and got him the checkbook and handed the checkbook. And guess what he did? Took all the money, took it to a different state and hid it where I couldn't get it, where I didn't know where it was at. And so when he divorced me, I was left penniless because I couldn't prove we had the money. And we've been married 45 years, and a lot of that was my money that we were saving. But so I knew what was going to happen. All right, so one time I come home. I'm just showing you how the Holy Spirit will talk to you. I came home, parked my car. And I was walking. We have a ramp that goes into my den downstairs. I was walking down there, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you go in there and you tell him that the plans he's making are going to come to naught. So I walked into the kitchen and threw the net into the kitchen, and my first husband was sitting there talking to our daughter. And I said to him, as I was coming down the ramp, God told me to tell you that the plans you're making are going to come to naught. And he was furious, hit his fist on the table. What do you mean? Why can't I do this? And what he was planning on doing was buying a property next to us and putting 3 chicken houses on it. But see, God knew all along he was going to divorce me. And he was going to take care of this land and these chicken houses. And so anyhow, then he just, and my daughter said, yeah, I was going to run them out and he was going to pay me. They had it all laid out. All right. So then one other morning I was leaving for work, walking up the ramp, and my first husband was standing over by the garage, and God said, you tell him to go ahead and do the things he's planned in his heart to do and to do it right now. So I yelled at him and I told him what I heard, and he just looked at me real dumbfounded. And the next day I got a divorce papers. So he was planning on divorcing me, but he was mulling it over. So God said, tell him to do it right now. And so he went that day and did it. So you see the Holy Spirit will tell you what's going on in your life. You won't be caught off guard about anything. I mean, I could write a book about the things that God has told me, and they've all come to pass exactly the way he's told me it will. It's because I walk in the Spirit. Are you understanding this? You know, I live a holy life, and I'm human too, and every now and then I can get really mad. And you don't want to get me mad at you, because I can really get mad. But, you know, and I'm not bragging about that, because I don't like to get upset. But I still walk in the Spirit. I still walk in holiness. I'm still obedient to God. I still do the things God's called me for to do. I don't compromise my walk with God. I don't compromise the Word. And I know when I'm reading the Word, if I'm doing something wrong, I'm chastised, you know, by myself. I myself chastise myself because I know, all right, you're not doing this. You've got to change. I don't go to somebody else and say, well, you know, do you think God's really talking to me? I know God's talking to me. You know when God is talking to you. And you've got to work out your own salvation. The Word of God tells you that. One of you can't work out I can't walk out your salvations. I can tell you the Word. I can teach you like what God's been doing. But you have to take what you're being taught and you have to apply it to your life. I can't apply it to your life. And that's what gets me so upset, because I teach and I teach. Sometimes I get up here and I look at my notes and look at you guys. And I think, well, I wonder how many heads this is going to go over and how many hearts it's going to touch. Because sometimes you preach the same thing over and over and over and over again and nobody's lives are changed. But you still have to do the works of the Father. So tonight, what did we say at the very end? God, give us Paul's holy boldness. Now, this is what you're going to have. You're going to have to be walking in the Spirit, and then you're going to ask God to give you Paul's holy boldness, or ask God to give you his holy boldness. Because I'm going to tell you, saints, God, when you walk in the Spirit, you'll be humble and you can be gentle as a lamb, but then you can get bold and like a lion. And right now, God's having me become very bold, because the enemy has been running roughshod, and God's given everybody a chance to get it together. I'm talking about my household now. But now God's all right. Now, boldness. Now you have to stand. And I don't do it in anger. I don't do it in ignorance. It's still done in love, but they know that Mom or God, whoever you want to say, has had enough, and now we have to change. Now, do you have that kind of boldness? Is it done in love? Boldness in God is done in love. It's done sternly, but in love. How many of you have been chastised by God? I've been chastised by God. I'll say, daughter. One time he said, Barbara, you see, I know your name. and then he told me what I was doing wrong. You know, and he wasn't nice about it either, because I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing. You have to have boldness, guys. If you're going to defeat the enemy, if you're going to set anybody free, you're going to have boldness. And you know, God spoke to some of you and said, you need to grow up and become a father. You need to become a man and put away your childish things. You have no boldness against the enemy. The enemy will send out the little guys, but the big guys are going to sit right in there and laugh at you, because they know you aren't grown up. You don't have any boldness. You really don't have any authority. Is they're just going to sit in there, and then after little guys leave, they're going to bring other ones in that were even worse than little guys that left. Are you Deliverance Ministries understanding this? Because you're doing to people more harm than you are good if you're not grown up. If you're not walking in the Spirit, I don't mean just when you're doing deliverance. I mean 24/7 walking in the Spirit, living the life that God wants you to live. Then when you do deliverances, they have to leave. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, if you really are walking in the Spirit the way you ought, I'm talking to the deliverance team, you won't spend hours upon hours upon hours doing deliverance. Because them devils are going to have to obey your voice. Brother Allen, when you was being delivered, the devils knew who I was, right? And they didn't want me to come. They did not want me to speak because they knew they had to leave. And I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just telling you that you can walk in the Spirit and have that kind of boldness and power and authority. And every devil has to bow his knee. Every devil. And I'm going to tell you another thing the devil would do. The devil thinks that he has you over a barrel because you keep putting up with his junk. But guess what? The day comes when God says, all right, now enough is enough. Now I'm going to use you to stop this devil in his tracks right now. And that person that's letting the devil use him is not going to like it. But you're going to be set free from him. Are you ready for that holy boldness? Not of Paul. Let's say of God's holy boldness. And you know, you women who let men browbeat you, or men who let women browbeat you, stop it. That's not God, because God told me when I was first born again, I kept hearing this word, submit. Everywhere when I went to church, every Sunday, submit, submit. And I said, God, what is this submit thing? Because I didn't know my Bible, all right? And he said, if my people would love the way my word commands them to do, the word submit would never come into anybody's conversation. All right? So we need to get our love walk together. We need to get it all together. We need to become well-rounded Christians. And this is what God has been trying to do, because he told me right from the get-go, when he first called me to minister, he said, my people are not well-rounded. They just have one idea and they run with it. They have to have the whole word. They have to become well-rounded, and then they can defeat every enemy of the cross. So if you want the boldness of God to be that kind of a person, a witness who walks in the Spirit, and has the power and authority of God in your life, and the enemy has to bow, come on out. And you walk, when you start walking in the Spirit, I'm going to tell you right now, your flesh will not be able to control you. Because the Spirit of God will say, no, that's not me.